Hello and welcome. It's now episode 3 of the Club Racing UK podcast in association with My Supercar. I've got quite a fun episode that I put together today. It's entitled Everyone Loves an Underdog. And let's be honest, we all do, don't we? We have our guest today, Paul Neville of the Modified Ford Series. And we're going to be talking about those kind of racing clubs. They don't hold their own meetings all the time. They normally dip in and out of the bigger clubs meetings or they go off, do something on their own on a smaller scale. But that doesn't mean the racing's any different. Doesn't mean it's any worse. There's still big grids out there. There's still varied grids and some fantastic cars. My name's Robert Lewis. I'm here with our hosts, other hosts, Nick Holmes, Stefan Marsh, all looking dapper in their shiny helmets.
Hey!
Our promise to Callum last week. How are we doing, gents? Hi, Paul. How are we doing today? Right. So, a lot's happened since last week. I had quite a few comments come through to me, quite a few viewer listener comments. It turns out I made a bit of a boo-boo while mentioning that we could potentially get some refunds regarding license fees from Motorsport UK. I was reminded it's a business like any other and needs to keep afloat. And they can see the situation.
What's that?
Okay, so we've also Sam Pearce also agreed wholeheartedly with our points on marshalling, and we did forget to mention it's worth an upgrade signature.
Yeah,
definitely.
So at some point
what's
this year, we'll
be like about a free signature.
Yeah, while wearing a very flashing orange jumpsuit.
Damn right.
So, moving on to the news now, a lot's happened in 2 weeks, gents, hasn't it? Boris decided to have an appearance on TV. He got ground force off. He's eased the sanctions a bit, and that's had quite a knock-on effect to the circuits. Yeah. They've started to ease some of the restrictions out. Go ahead then, Nick. Let's see what we've got.
There's two ways of this, isn't it? Obviously, everyone's getting quite excited about the fact that track days and test days and things are going ahead, but I don't know. I guess companies have got to get themselves in there, but I really do think that they're possibly jumping the gun a bit soon. That's my view, but
that's your view.
As much as I want to get on the track like everybody else does, I believe, you know, he's lifted the sanctions, and I don't know if anyone was out this weekend. Everybody was out, and I've got a horrible feeling we're going to just go back a step, not forward a step, personally.
There we go, lads. Now, not to copy Top Gear, which the famous episode where Schumacher came on dressed as a stig. Can you now remove your helmets?
Oh yeah, I'm roasting, boys.
It's the fact that Balaclava hides a massive tash.
Hold on. Here we go. Look at that. It's like a grand unveiling.
There we go, lads. You're looking very dapper. Can you tell what it is yet? Indeed. So to summarise, chaps, so MSV have started to open their offices. They've got lots of staff on furlough still. You are able to book test days.
Yeah.
And they will resume track activities from May the 26th. They also, I noticed today on their website, I had a brief look through it. There's a lot of stuff on there about the measures they're going to take. You can't stay there overnight beforehand or after you've done your tested track day. That's a big no-no. It's online briefings, which, to be honest, I think might stay. I think technology's certainly going to come into the frame here after COVID's eventually buggered off. One car with two people for a track day, and if you're testing, it's one car for four people, all in one garage. So one car, two people per garage on the track day, four people on a test day. So it's all good. Keeping the social distancing, hand sanitizers. Unfortunately, as we raised last week, if Nick's driving anywhere close to you, he's going to break the 2 meter door by going halfway through your scuttle panel.
Every time.
It's not happening. I am not biting this week.
Yes, you are. Paul, can I get your thoughts on these measures? Is there anything you've thought about it?
We race with host clubs. We don't actually organise anything ourselves. We go to
you know, we go to a club or an organisation and we have, you know, we share one of their races or they will put up a race. So we're guided by what they do, really. You know, I don't go out and get my own race. You know, I go to various clubs and they host, you know, as a host, and I you know, I basically feed off of them. So if they, if, you know, if their calendar changes, I will go with them. You know, I don't have to actually go out and change. I can't change my calendar. I'll, you know, I'm actually with them, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
In regards to testing track days, are you tempted at all, or are you sort of keeping?
Well, I think the whole, you know, all this social distancing, I think it's going to ruin the whole ethos of racing. You know, we go there, it's part of the social scene. We want to stay overnight, and you know, there's a lot of that which is part of the racing. You know, and if it's all done behind closed doors, again, you can't invite your family, your friends. You know, and it just takes half of it away. It takes half the fun away.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that.
It's unfortunate. And as well as MSV putting these measures into place, Castle Coombe appear to be doing the same. A lot of third-party track operators do a lot of track days at Castle Coombe. But again, they've put in, I think there's a track day company. We all know chaps. I think they're doing one or two drivers per car. That's it. Nothing else, very strict.
I mean, it's going to be minor, but I mean, to the track day guys, realistically, normally you go on your own, don't you? You and your car and like a little box of tools and away you go. So I feel they'll be all right. But as Paul's mentioned, it's the social side of racing that I think, I mean, I know I will miss some of the stuff we got up to in the paddocks last year. It was ridiculous.
yeah.
You know, if you can't do any of that, you know, it is, as much as the racing on the track is fun, the beers afterwards with your friends and talking about that move you made on someone that wasn't there or is there, you know, it's all that afterwards that you're not going to get. So
I'll be booking the first track day I can get on.
Well, got to keep ourselves sharp, haven't we, boy?
I don't think it'll be too long. I think they're trying to make it back as normal as quickly as you can. So I reckon by August time, you'll be back to being able to camp. Obviously, you still have to do social distancing with various people, I'm sure, but I'm sure they'll relax it enough to get some people back so we can have some enjoyment with it.
I mean, the sooner we get back, if we can start, you know, getting back small bites at a time, you know, yes, by the end of the year we might be at racing. If you leave it, you know, we'll be taking bite size later on. So the sooner we can get out there and do a bit of track day, do a bit of testing, and as long as the problem doesn't get worse, you know, the pandemic problem doesn't get worse, you know, it will just allow more and more in. You know, we can sit and wait out. When will the right time be?
Well, I mean, the only good thing is looking at the news today, that today has been the lowest death toll for considerably for a while. Long may that continue.
Yes, totally.
We just have to wait and see, gents. But Boris has seen means to start relaxing to implement phases to come out of lockdown. We'll see how it goes, and we'll ultimately find out.
It's on us to, as long as we do what is required, stay away, distance, it'll work. But
basically, don't be an idiot. I was going to say something else then, but
no.
The only other spanner in the works, chaps, Anglesey and Pembrey, Wales are under different laws. They're still effectively in 100% lockdown. So Anglesey and Pembrey, unless they relax their laws, they're kind of in the lurch a little bit. But we'll see how that goes. Goodwood is
Knockhill as well.
Same will apply for Knockhill. Goodwood is open from the 20th of May for track days. I know a lot of people aren't going to be affected by that. They do a couple of track days. The noise limits, you know, not a lot of choice there, but you know, it's still there. It appears at the moment Bark tracks are staying shut. Although, well, I think it's a case of they haven't updated. Well, certainly nothing
they,
I could see.
Let me just see how the MSV stuff pans out.
Good. Well, I know Bark are on a bit of a tighter budget, but
exactly.
Probably we're still, I believe, if my facts are right, they're still going off this theoretical date that the next step's going to happen in June. So maybe they're waiting to see if it actually does happen and they get the green light rather than trying to preempt it. I don't know the fact completely, but maybe that's the case.
Yeah,
it could well be, chaps. So as long as everyone else stays safe, and I do implore you to do that, and go out, do what you have to do, look after your family and such like, and we'll see what happens in a couple of months. Yeah. So, chaps, I move on. So today's podcast is all about the underdog. I love an underdog. And obviously, we have our guest, Paul Neville. We should be talking about the modified Ford series later on. First of all, I want to start off with the CMMC, which, to be fair, Paul, you've raced in as well with the Southern lot.
Yeah,
we're going to be covering them as well. So the Classic and Modern Motorsport Club. Richard Culverhouse is the main man, the head honcho, the big cheese. Famous for originally starting the CSCC before he left, went off and did his own things. And he then went on and formed the Classic and Modern Motorsport Club. So we've got the Classic Era Challenge incorporating this year the Aston Martin Owners Club Series. Five classes based on CC plus an invitation class. You got your classic cars, which is 1950s to the 1970s. Again, five classes, including an invitational class. And modern cars. Oh, they do, mate. There's nothing classics like seeing. it's David and Goliath, isn't it? I mean, yeah, I would be cheeky and say it's possibly something Paul saw back in the day, but I wouldn't go that far.
What's he saying, Paul?
I know. I'm on something today. Yeah,
You'll get used to this, Paul. He'll just spend the entire night just absolutely slagging you off. But you know what's going to happen the minute he goes out in his car? It's going to blow up. So we'll get our vengeance. So don't worry.
I was waiting for that to happen when my car was brought up.
Yeah.
So we've got those three championships. What I've done is I've got the Southern sector, and we're doing that separately in a second. So we've got those three championships for the main CMMC. Registration is £35 a year. That's not bad, is it?
That's mad. Yeah.
That's nothing, is it? Which is good. But he came to see us at the Autosport show. He was a really nice guy, Richard Golverhouse. And we got asked if we wanted to go on holiday.
Don't.
If you want to explain that, Nick.
You imagine if he asked that same question now? We'd be gone. Yeah, really nice bloke, actually. We've been talking to him for a little while, possibly trying to maybe put on a Club Racing UK festival feel one-off race, see if we could get a grid of our members there for a day. Obviously, it's still in the pipeline, possibly, depending on when everything blows over. But yeah, really nice chap. Obviously, he's been in the game for a long time, so he certainly knows his stuff.
Well, we're actually affiliated with the Classic and Modern Motorsport Club. Because we can't apply for MSUK registration without the backing of a club. You have to be a club to be registered. You know, to get a registration number with the MS Motorsport UK. And Richard is our guardian, if you like. So he sponsored us for that. So now obviously we're registered.
He didn't know that was the case. I thought it was just we've got lots of cars. Can we come and join you? But that's good.
Yeah, you can't just rock up and start your own race series and get registered. Yeah. You know, you have to have audited accounts and you have to have, you know, all sorts of administration in place. So, you know, we would have to go to someone like CMMC or Bark or whoever to get that. You know, you can't just get all your mates to come up and go racing.
Yeah.
And the guys are like
car park.
Just rock up in a car park and away we go.
there we go. So we've got those, and I'll move on to the CMMC Southeast. Now, back in the day, formerly this was Bark Southeast. This was sort of a branch or a faction of the BARC towards, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, was it, Paul? Bark decided to close that side down, and you predominantly had your three championships based mainly at Brands Hatch. You would have trips to Snetterton, occasionally Donington, Rockingham. And so they went to CMMC, and it's now sort of got a branch of that with the CMMC Southeast. So you've got three championships. You've got the Quaife Modified Saloon, so the Tin Tops. Look at that for a grid. That's quite varied, isn't it?
I think,
There's some lovely cars.
We got there. And a couple. Minis.
That's the tin tops. That's the tin top.
So that's the tin top side of it. So you've got the likes there, you know, Chris Bicknell, who's a member of ours. He's doing our interclub. Dan Fisher, Jonathan Bevan in the Integra that Rod Burley occasionally says, the DC5. Obviously, Chris Bassett in his 205. Have you ever seen him in that? Fantastic car that is. Well, looks well sorted. So that's another one. You've got the modified saloons as well. I mean, look at that.
That is
well. So you've got the Rod.
Let's have a guess. How many brake horses on the first three rows of that? That's blimey.
I think it ends million.
Yeah, those two Cosworths on the front alone must be over 1,000, surely.
I wouldn't know personally without asking him, but a lot of people will know that the Ford Escort Cosworth on the front right, that is, of course, Rod Burley. Can be maybe a controversial figure in the past with certain victories, but I won't delve into that at all. Bit of a character, a lot of race wins.
Controversial on this show, Rob?
Oh, no controversy on here. None of that.
No, I'm only fair when you ask people if they know, and he's a very famous character, and it's just what you hear in the paddock. But he's also done quite a lot for the South East Championships to get the grid places, and you can't fault that.
No, two sides to every story now, isn't there, Rob?
Oh, there is. Yes, there is. You've also got other notables that have been there. One in the past, Dale Gent, Darren Bly. I can remember the Darren Bly R32 Skyline had about a gazillion horsepower, massive rear wing on the back, and there's him and Rod Burley absolutely tanking it all on their own out the front, fighting for the win. You've got the likes of Bill Richards, who's got an absolutely mental Mini in Class D or E, but he's keeping up with Renault.
Is that the Saab powered Mini?
No, that's Neil Wade with a classic Touring Car Rescue. This is a classic Mini.
It's a classic Mini.
Yeah, it's got a BDH engine in it or something like that.
Oh, geez.
And it's absolutely mental. He's Bill Richards, quite famous. He's the instructor at Lyddon Hill, I believe. Is he still, Paul? I think so.
I think he is. But
this Mini is just absolutely mental. And the fact that he can beat Clio Cup factory cars in a Mini.
That's why we go racing, though, isn't it, guys? It's
the underdog.
Again, the underdogs.
It's the underdogs. That's it. I mean, we used to see it in the British touring cars way back when, didn't you? The old Ford Galaxies versus the old Minis, and I mean, it's fantastic racing, regardless of what's under the bonnet, powers to weight, and all of that, and depends on how handy you are behind the round thing that you hold on to.
Yeah, I mean, hang on, there's someone we know in that picture. Is that a Paul Neville Escort in there?
That is a Paul Neville Escort.
You can just see that. So this video, this picture I pulled up here. So that's a full grid at Mallory, and that had all three classes. So that was the Super Saloons, that was the Intermark, and the Tin Tops.
I was going to say you've got silhouettes there in the front.
Yeah, so the silhouette obviously
smack bang in the middle of all of them.
you look at the variety there, and the racing is still absolutely mental. Some gorgeous cars, and a BMW at the front, just like the British touring cars at the moment.
Yeah, well, not at the moment.
Well, yeah, nothing at the moment.
Yet to see it this year, but then this is why we're doing this show today, isn't it? You look at the size of that grid that we've just showed there, and you know, it's not put on by the likes of the MSV, the BARC, the BRSCC, not all these big clubs. Don't get me wrong, you know, they do a great job too, but it just shows that you can have just as
the underdog can do it too.
Exactly. And it does work. So hats off to everyone.
So yeah, another notable suggestion for the modified saloons. Ghosts past Stratton Mackay with that mental Subaru. We mentioned him last week. He's racing a KA now because he fancied something a bit quicker. So if you are watching, Stratton, I hope you're well, mate. So obviously you've got the Intermark as well, Space Frame Races. I know that there's, I'm not sure if it's a case of two grids now, or they've, you know, it's somewhere for the Super Silhouette guys to come as well when they're not doing the trucks. Yeah. But I did, the one thing I did look at, lads, was the entry fees. It ranges from £320 to £395 across all three series, but it depends on the circuits. Obviously, the bigger budget, the £395 are for your Brands GP, your big Silverstone Grand Prix and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if you're going, if an entry fee for £320, apart from what Paul is about to show us a bit later on, that's still bloody good value for what you're getting.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of other series. Realistically, there's a lot of other series out there.
£320. It's still a lot for some people.
Oh, totally.
You know, and I think, you know, and I, you know, obviously I understand that, you know, the circuits have got to, they've got to break even. They've got to make money, or they've, you know, they've got to cover their costs. But it's all about quantity. If you can get quantity on the grids, you can get the race fee down. You can get the entry fees down. You know, you can have. I mean, on you know, specifically our race, because I can control it, because I'm not, you know, I'm not governed by any club or organisation. You know, if we get lots of drivers, I can bring the price right down. You know, I can bring it down to under £300. Our first race that we were having this year was £275. But it's all dependent on getting numbers on the grid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if we've got a cutoff, and you know, what you do, you sign up with a deposit, and then when you get to a certain number, the price goes down. And if you reach the next number, so it can go down from 325 down to 300, 275, and it can keep going down, you know, depending on how many you get on the grid.
Yeah. And I think that's a very good incentive to get cars on the grid. You know, you see it all the time. We spoke about it in previous podcasts, didn't we, where you get some grids of like six cars. Well, I wasn't going to go that low, but you know, five, six cars, that's not exciting. You know, it's not
exciting. Well, it's not exciting. Nobody, it doesn't pay its way. And then it does, it kills the club. It puts the prices up, and it's just negative. It just has a negative impact. So the idea is to try and encourage more people in.
Yeah. I suppose everybody's business model is different, though, isn't it? So I suppose what works for one club doesn't necessarily work for another club. And I'm not a businessman, so I'm not going to go too much further into that, that section, because, yeah, I won't have a clue what I'm talking about. But, if it works for you, as you say, if people come in through your door because you're offering a lower price as you go.
As we go, certainly, yeah. You know, and if people don't engage, if people don't come up, because what we do, you know, we don't set an entry fee. We don't say, right, the entry fee is £350.
Yeah.
We set a deposit. So we say, pay a deposit, you know, which is, you know, £100. You pay a deposit, so you're not fully committing. And what it does, it encourages other people to pay a deposit, because the more deposits you get, then that will set the entry fee. So week or 2 weeks before the race, it's, you know, if we get 20 cars, the race entry fee will be that, and then all you've got to do is pay the difference. So it's almost like a way of saving as well. So you don't have to pay out £350 in one go. You pay a deposit, and then the week before the race, we say, right, it's now £300. You've just got to pay the £200 difference. And it's another way of getting people to book in early. I mean, our first race, we had a full grid 2 months or 2.5 months before the start of the race, and it was already full up. People paid deposits, you know, and I think, you know, I'd like to have, you know, more in the bag. I'd like to sort of say that I've done it, you know, we've done a year or it's worked fully. But certainly for the first race, you know, people engaged, paid the deposit. £100 was, I'm not saying it's nothing, but people could afford £100 to secure their place. And it seemed to be an idea.
It seemed to be quite popular.
And I was one of those that took you up on that offer, Paul.
So was,
Yeah, it is cost effective. I mean, for me, that was one of the winning things, was the fact that I could effectively secure my spot. I mean, with my motorsport as well, we're going to cover this more next week, because the next podcast episode, we're specifically looking at how to cut your cloth, or how, certainly how we do it, and other ideas on how you can make it certainly more cost effective for you. And that, as an idea, was one of them. I could effectively secure my spot on the grid and go, right, I am racing at that meeting. I've secured that. It then gives me time to, right, I can budget this, budget that. Right, here's what I need to do to the car. This bit I need to put towards the rest of the entry fee. And I could spread my money out a bit more. Because, yeah, you know, again, we've said it before, effectively for us, this is a hobby and a very bloody good one.
It also allows, the one of the biggest things was, when the clubs would put, like, entry lists, a lot of people wouldn't enter to the last minute. You know, they didn't know if their car was ready. They didn't know if their mate was going racing, or for want of lots of reasons, they weren't sure whether they're going to do it. So they left it right to the last minute. And people that were watching the entry lists, they were looking to say, well, there's nobody entered. I'm not going to enter. And it had this sort of, this round robin thing that they couldn't overcome. Whereas £100, which, you know, if the person turned around and said, I can't race, I'll just give it back. It's not a problem. But for £100, which secures your spot, people will see that. And, you know, obviously we put it on our website. People can see that, oh, he's entered. And it just generates earlier interest, where people start thinking, well, you know, there's 6 guys racing or 10 guys racing. And they get in, you know, you encourage people to race earlier rather than all the last minute and people not seeing who's there. I mean, I've been racing for years and I'd see it and there wouldn't be anybody on the entry list. And I'd think, well, I don't want to race there. There's no one in it.
Yeah, just be you circling around on your Todd. Woo-hoo! Yeah. First place.
And it'll be a last minute dash, and that's the organisers didn't know what was going on. They didn't know whether to pull the race or what was going on, combine it. And that's what you have with a lot of race, you know, they're combining grids, you know, which people don't want. People don't want to race with other cars, with other championships. You know, it could interfere with their point system. You know, if you've got 2 champions racing one another and one's racing and possibly gets taken out or gets blocked by somebody else that shouldn't be in their race, it sort of ruins it for them. So, you know, I'd like to, you know, we want to keep our race as individual without any outside interference, or not the right word, interference, but we don't want anybody else, you know, so it's just the modified saloons, modified Fords. But obviously we've got to... make sure we get the numbers. Otherwise, it just doesn't work.
No, that's it.
And it works well. Right, gents, just quickly, before we move on to the modified Fords fully, we move on to, and you thought this was eye-watering, Paul, with a £320. Porsche Club GB. Okay. Yeah. I said Porsche. That was it. Well, Stefan's disappeared, by the way. I think he's due a toilet break. Porsche. Now that is a good looking grid. That is a lovely looking grid, and you see the boxes. Now they've got 2 championships. As there's the Boxster series, which I believe they're built and they are represented by the individual Porsche dealers. All running retro Porsche racing livery. So you see some absolutely gorgeous cars out there. And then of course you've got the main championship, which, you know, you've got your Caymans, you've got your 996, 911s, you've got your 944s, although not as many 944s in the back there anymore. You know, it's a ultra fast, competitive, proper Porsche backed series. I believe it's backed by the Porsche Owners Club or Porsche Club GB. The registration to register for this series, I could be wrong here. This is what I pulled from the website on their registration form: £555 or £550 to register.
Names in the back.
If you registered this year, you'd
certainly be looking for a bit off the top. Although I suppose, you know, if
the thing is, it's the badge. I say it's the badge. It's not. It's the racing. It's the mark, isn't it? Like, that is a good feeder series towards GTs. So, I mean, if you compare it to the kind of stuff you'll be heading towards, it's probably still more, you know, still bang for your buck as such. It's that higher bracket, isn't it? I mean, we talk about the ladder of motorsport. Obviously, in comparison to the likes of British GT or, you know, even BTCC, it's a little drop in the ocean, isn't it? Still cost-wise. But it's edging on that national side series.
It's a mixed mark, isn't it? You would think, you know, the one make series would be the feeders to the GTs and you know, like the Ginettas or Renaults or something. You know, it's a mixed mark.
Yeah, but the thing is as well, like I've only ever seen the Porsches on a club calendar. It's not as if they're supporting the British GT Championship at every round and it's on their support package, like a VW Cup, like a Ginetta Series. $550 is a lot of money to register to race for a year with a club. And the entry fees, okay, the one thing I will say for this, they're 25-minute races. So you're getting 10 minutes more than you would with another club. £490.
So that's how many races in a weekend? That's
two races qualifying.
Two races.
Yep.
So you're still looking at, what's that, an hour and 5 minutes, hour and 10 minutes of seat time?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
okay.
Yeah. It's the next level up, isn't it? I believe it's still club racing. It's still what we represent, but I'd say that's more the taller end of what we do. So.
And I guess maybe the affiliation with the official Porsche club maybe puts the price up a bit.
And the Porsche have got a massive following. I know when you go to a BTCC event, if you've got the Porsche Carrera Cup on, they've got an almighty stand, an almighty like hospitality suite and stuff like that. So Porsche have a massive following. So, and as you said, if you've got all the local dealers involved with it as well, it's the money's kind of going to be there, isn't it? So.
Okay, so from a very good-looking Porsche grid, we're going to look on some good-looking Fords. This is the bit that I'm looking forward to because, as we know, ladies and gentlemen, Nick Holmes loves Ford.
I'm in a room with three Ford nuts. This, I'm just going to look. I'll go and leave you lot to it.
Look at that.
Joking, I'm back.
So cool. This was the HP show at Lydon last year. It was named the Ford Saloons then, but you've since then it's been changed to the modified Fords. But how about that? That is a gorgeous grid. And you've got Rod Burley, Malcolm Harding, Jamie Goff, Paul Neville, Ricky Christodoulou, Neil Jessop, Chris Baker, so many other drivers. I'm so sorry if I haven't got your name down. I'm just off the top of my head. But again, look at the varied grid on there as well. Fiesta's at the back.
My first ever car's in there. Mark III Fiesta. That was my first ever car. That's probably why I don't like Fords that much.
I like that. But you see a lot of, Fiesta like XT. They are. You just like any race car, don't you? Anything with an engine, it's yours.
If it's got four wheels and an engine, I'm happy.
You're a bit of a race car hussy. So this was at the BHP show last year. Sadly, due to this sodding Chinese virus, I didn't get a chance to race on this fantastic grid this year. I was really looking forward to getting my backside handed to me on this grid. Because if you look at those cars at the front and in the middle and at the back, they're properly sorted, well-built cars, fantastic drivers, good close racing. And I think behind the scenes as well, we've got a video clip of a certain Mr. Paul Neville's on board from the BHP show. Can we play that, guys?
We'll be right back.
that's a taster of what runs in that series. I don't know that. About you, but no, no. I've got a lump in my trousers now.
A little lump in my trousers.
Well, a big lump in my trousers. So that was the Lynn Round PHP show last week.
Lies. All lies.
Paul, tell us about that car, because you've built that up over quite a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, I bought that in 1990. A long, long time.
Crikey, just to make you feel old, that's a year before I was born.
I was one.
Yeah, I bought that.
Oh, let's not do that for him. That's cool.
Yeah, I bought that a long, long time ago. And, you know, I never really had the money back in those days. I mean, there were some guys out there that had cars like there are out there today, or like mine is today. You know, they're putting a lot of money into it, you know, good engines, good suspension. Mine was a Pinto. You know, it held its own for a little while. And, you know, I ran Pintos for many, many years, right up to, you know, 2000, ran Pintos, racing against the 16 valves. And, you know, I did okay with it. But I think, you know, I wanted to move into a more modern engine. So, you know, I went for a Duratec, and this last 2-3 years I've gone for a 2.3 with a sequential, and it's just a dream to drive. It sounds
you know, incredible.
it's just lovely. I mean, if I could have thought to have done that, you know, years ago, I would love to have done, you know. But a lot of cars now, you know, a lot of people are moving up into the higher bracket of modern engines, gearboxes, more power. I mean, in our series, I think we've got now, I think there's about 10 in class B1, which is 2.3, 16 valve and above. And, you know, they're you know, ranging, you know, 300 to 380 brake out of a four-cylinder 16 valve engine, you know, non-turbo, you know, 380 brake, that's a lot of power. Ooh. I mean, mine's got 320. And, you know, we'd all like a bit more, let's be honest, wouldn't we?
Wouldn't we?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the proof. I mean, you know, you wouldn't have seen that a few years ago, you know, Mark 1 and Mark 2 escorts with that sort of power. You know, it's just changing times.
Yeah, there certainly seems to be a lot more out there that a lot more people are making conversion kits to get the more modern equipment into the older Escorts, Fiestas. I know Chris Brown's put a Duratec lump in his Mark II Fiesta, and that looks absolutely insane.
Yeah, that's quite the build, that.
That is quite the build. And, it, you know, to be fair to him, the build's absolutely immaculate. But you kind of wonder whether he's going to step on the power at the first meeting, and he's got so much grunt in there, the engine and box are going to take off and the car's going to stay on the line.
It is a Ford.
Oof. although Nick, Paul does have a confession to make. He has owned a Vauxhall.
Yeah.
What did you have?
I'm sure.
I have. Loves Colton. Oi. I sold it last year.
Wait. Oh, no, it was Colton. Wow.
Loves Colton. I sold it at auction last year. And it's back up into auction this end of this month. So.
Wow. Obviously,
he couldn't afford the AA bill. That's what it was. But already, I like the way you do this, Paul. So the registration fee is free for life. So I'm one of them. I'm registered in my little Focus.
It's free for life, but I think the idea is if you don't race for 2 years, because obviously when you register your number. So, you know, because obviously, you know, people like to have their number, and, you know, so we'll keep that for 2 years. If you can register, and if you don't race, you know, for whatever, if there's a pandemic around or something, you know, but if you don't race for 2 years, you know, we'll get in touch and say, look, you know, if you want us to keep it, we will. Otherwise, we'll you know, because you register for life, yes, if you're going to race. If you're not going to race, we'll just, you know, they can leave and offer their number out, because obviously we've got 46 registered cars. And obviously that takes up quite a lot of numbers. Yeah. We've already got about 5 or 6 people that all want the same number. So, you know, what I say is that, you know, if that the first come, first served, and if the next guy isn't racing, he can race his number, or put a one in front of it or change a number. So it, even that becomes quite a fuss.
Quite a logistic. Yeah, tell me about it.
I can imagine. See, that's why I went for the nice and safe 170. No one wants to be attached to that one. But going to places like the BHP show, for me as well, the fact that you're going to effectively a car show and putting on a racing grid, for me, you've got, because the one thing about club racing that a lot of people will notice, well, there's not really a crowd there except your mum and dad and your cousin and your auntie. But at the BHP show, because it's a car show on there already, you're effectively got a crowd of potentially 10. Okay, it's not going to be like a touring car meeting where you've got 30 to 50,000. But essentially, you can have 10 to 15 turn up at an event, watch what's going on. Lyddon Hill have done it with the BHP show. MSV have done it with Full Power Live. I mean, we were there with the KAs last year. You were there, Paul, with the modified Fords. The crowds were huge.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. You want people to look at club racing and go, oh, bloody hell, I didn't know you could do that.
Well, this is it.
Yeah. I got in touch with Jay from BHP, or, you know, we got together and decided, you know, it was the first of its kind, really, to race at BHP. And we were the only people that actually had a permit to race there. You know, we were the only series. And, you know, we had, it was a dip in the water, it was a toe in the water for us, you know. I mean, Full Power Live, we had a much bigger grid of modified Fords out there. You know, we had 20, 22, 23 good, solid modified cars there, and it was fantastic. And it's just growing and growing, you know.
Good thing but is as well, with these shows, you've got fans there. If you're at a Ford show, you know, they want to see Fords racing. You go to a club racing weekend, like I'll use the KAs as an example. When we were like at Cadwell, there wasn't anybody there because, you know, there isn't many fans of KAs, so to speak. But you go to a you go to a show, and regardless of your genre, be it a stance guy or I don't know, like an in-car entertainment guy, you're all there for the badge, aren't you? You're all there for the Ford badge. So, what better audience to put on a show of the modified Ford Sport? So,
yeah, but it is logistical. It's difficult because you've got to have, you know, you've got to have, you know, all the administration there, clerk of the course, stewards, marshals, ambulance, fire. So, you know, to have the Ford show, unless you've got all that in place and some of the big circuits, it becomes too expensive to have that as well as the show, you know, unless the circuit owners are prepared to use the gate money to, you know, to subsidize it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just too expensive to do one car. I mean, Full Power Live, I think last year there was three or four races for that weekend or that day.
Yeah, because you had obviously us with the Enduro KAs. You had Focus Cup.
Yeah.
You guys. You had Formula Ford, Champion of Brands, of course. You know, a stable mate of Brands Hatch. So to be fair, MSV have looked at that and gone, you know what, we've got enough here to make it count. Which is good.
Yeah.
We got to sit in the pits and do, fan signings. We're like famous now, eh, Steph?
I didn't sign anything, though, Nick, so we're still famous.
I'd say you are. Do you not see the hordes of people coming down to see our little KAs? I think it was like three people.
You were leaflet bombing them all.
Yeah, take a leaflet. But.
Yeah, I mean, they got scared. What's this big stick of a bearded giant coming towards me?
To be fair, the people that did come down to the pits on that, you know, on that event, still more people than we normally get at club events. So it was brilliant. I quite enjoyed it.
They all were generally interested in what was going on and what we were about. So.
But that's what we want to do. We want to bring spectators back into the sport, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, years and years I've been racing, and you know, you pay a lot of money to go racing, and you're racing around the track, and you might see a few people skittered around the outside, but you know, if you can bring it into shows to sort of demonstrate that racing is, you know, and put on a good show, good grids, good cars, you can start to get, you know, especially with social media these days, word gets about, there's a good race series to go and watch, and you can bring them back into some of the other circuits, bring them back in. But with all this dilution of race clubs where you're getting, you know, six on a grid or something, you know, it's
that's the thing, isn't it?
It's got to change. It's got to change. And, you know, I think we are
actually going to cover it in one of our podcasts, actually, about how we can get people to the circuit to watch the race. They're obviously never going to pay for our racing and stuff like that. But, you know, if we can put on a show for people and people enjoy racing, even the people that don't know how to get into racing, even if they just come along to an event and have a watch. You know,
yeah, and hopefully when you're racing at shows like the BHP event, if Dave that's got an old XR2 sat in his garage and he's got a few quid lying around it, and he just says, "Oh, I've always wanted to go race it, but I don't know how to." Okay, and he sees, I don't know, he sees us lot on the grid at Lyddon Hill having an absolutely awesome time, lots of racing going on, track action, and he goes, "I really want to do that." And he comes up and sees us in the paddock. Well, that's effectively, you've got someone else from the outside going into racing.
Perfect.
Of course, we'll be good inspiration for them, but, you know, obviously we're quite lucky, you know, who we let in, and, you know, we don't want, you know, teenagers buying a car off eBay and wanting to sign up for it. You know, we've got cars there that are worth six figures, you know. You know, we've got to be careful, you know. The car preparation is car preparation, driving standards, you know, they all matter to the people in you know, in our community, sort of thing. Can't just be anyone, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely, I agree with you.
Have you seen Rob's Ford?
I knew that was coming. I knew
that two grid spaces, one for the car and one for the splitter.
Yeah.
It confirms to the regs. So
does the very front of the car, so does the most extruding part of the car have to be on the line? Because if that's the case, you'll start from the pit lane, mate.
He wants to get, if he gets the win, he just wants to be that splitter in front.
Yeah,
just,
that's it.
Yeah. Make it as long as you can.
You'll have to have a look at it, Paul. The transponder will be on the end of it.
Exactly. Exactly. I've already cut the holes ready for the transponder to go on there. But yes, because I do have in the notes that some rather large idiot does plan to race in Class B. That'll be myself. So I've got a Ford Focus ST170. It's got a bit of power behind it. Obviously not as much as Paul. About 205 horsepower at the moment. Hopefully when we sort the exhaust out on it, it'll be a wee bit more. But it's a series that really appeals to me. It's the fact you can stick a set of slicks on it and go and race with some absolute classics and race at the likes. I like Lyddon Hill anyway. But, you know, to race there as part of a BHP show and almost be a headline event, you know, that drew to me and was like, yeah, that absolutely. And the way it's been put together by yourself, Paul, I think you should be commended for it.
Yeah, it's good,
but
it's really good.
The one photo I didn't get was the one that Paul posted up with all the trophies on your outside garden table of the years of racing. How many tubs of polish did that take to clean?
Oh, I didn't clean them.
Too much work.
Might have taken the silver paint off them.
Yeah, rub the plastic.
So going back to when you started racing it, Paul, what championships have you raced in over the years?
Well, I started because I had a couple of friends doing the Vector Challenge, which was sponsored by Carlisle, which was, you know, I mean, back in those days, you could. People were giving away escorts, and it was a very, very popular series. And, you know, that turned into the Ford Saloons. And it ran for, I think, about 10, 12 years, maybe. Then it changed into Boss. So I raced in, let's say, Vector, Ford Saloons, Boss, which was taken over by the classic touring cars. Eventually, I did the Scottish Sports and Saloons. I did the Formula Saloons, which was a mighty, mighty championship with some, you know, super tourers. It was the old, it's all offspring from the old Thunder Saloons.
You raced against the likes of Pete Stevens?
I was a couple of years after Pete Stevens, but, you know, there was like the Nissan Primeras, the Mondeos, you know, White Bodies, Sierras, you know, a lot of good cars like that. Did that for 3 years. Went back to Class 2 and cars, did a bit more because I had an Escort Cosworth for about, I had that for 16 years, I think, that the Escort Cosworth. Nice. So I was racing two cars in the same year at some point. And I could just see, you know, you could see how grids were diminishing. They were getting smaller and smaller. And, you know, for a number of reasons. So I was sort of flitting from one race, and I just enjoy myself racing, really. I hadn't really, you know, I had no intentions to start up anything on my own. I was quite happy to mingle in and try and help other clubs. And Chris Baker, who's like my wingman, who's part of Modified Fords, he was a coordinator for another club that I was with. And it was down to him to, because I think at that time they were gonna basically close the Ford series in that club, and Chris Baker was brought in as series coordinator to try and revive it. I put some ideas to him. You know, Chris, with all his unswaying enthusiasm, thought it was a great idea. We started putting a plan into action to try and get this. And this was 2017-18. In 2018, we had, you know, I think the year before, they had an average of six cars on the grid for the whole year. 2018, you know, we got together, we generated some interest, and the first race, we had 18 cars on the grid. It was fantastic. We had 32 or 33 registered. You know, it was great, but, you know, unfortunately, the organisers didn't agree, you know, with what we were trying to do. So you know, a couple of months later, you know, after petitioning it for a long time, we were sort of forced to move on somewhere, and, you know, unfortunately, they're back to the 6 quid average. So yeah, I didn't want to do this, but, you know, I think, well, you know, I had a great support to sort of keep it going. So I just, here I am, keeping it going.
Good man.
Yes, and I have spoken to Chris Baker a few times. He's a good lad, and he's got an absolute monster of an Escort, front-wheel drive, 300 horsepower Z-Tech, way more powerful than mine, so it's probably another one that's going to leave me for standing dust on the grid. So that, in a nutshell, is a modified Ford's pool, so I do wish you all the luck in the world moving forward. It looks an absolute promising series, and hopefully I'll be on the grid one day with you guys, and we can have a good race.
Well, I think we're the best race series that's never happened.
Absolutely.
Oh, this bloody virus. Well, okay, lads.
When we do get going again, we'll all be there with you, so don't you worry about it.
Yeah, nice one. Yeah, well, we're hoping that Ford Power Live is, which is September. I mean, if we can top what we had last year, you know, it'd just be amazing. You know, last year was absolutely awesome. You know, we had some fantastic cars.
And to be fair, it does look like as well that BHP show has been moved, not cancelled effectively. They have moved it to October, haven't they? So,
yeah, they have. We had, you know, obviously the earlier, the one this month we're supposed to be having, you know, it was over 2 days. And because we exceeded the grid that we had there, we actually had racing over 2 days as well. If it's going to happen in October is yet to be seen. But, you know, to fit everything on one day with an excess grid, you know, we was planning on doing three races rather than the two. So everybody got to race. You know, we didn't want to have reserves. So whether we can fit three races in, there's going to be the cars around to do it. Everybody's under different circumstances, whether they can afford to race, whether, you know, it's a game changer, isn't it, this situation?
Yeah, totally.
You've got to sit it out.
Yeah, we, you know, sat joking on the Autosport stand in January. We obviously didn't see this coming, but here we are. It's been done. We've covered it, and hopefully more positivity going forward more than anything.
Yeah, right, we'll be racing, don't you worry.
I move on to the Track Attack Race Club. I know they've just joined MSV, but for absolute years, they've been a nomad. They've been the underdog on their own, absolutely trying to mix it with everyone. Yeah. And they've produced good grids, fantastic grids. So the Track Attack Race Club, you know, you've got the Nippon Challenge, the Tricolor Trophy, the Peugeot 206 Cup, Multimarks, and the Deutsche Cup. Look at that for a grid. That is awesome.
That's it.
And it's very
fantastic looking grid. Yeah.
Again,
any car can pretty much fit in anywhere. So,
yeah. Except you can't see a Vauxhall there at the moment. There were other pictures that had a Vauxhall on them, but
what you don't know there, Rob, is the car you can see in the front is actually in second. Obviously, the car right out the front, 20 seconds down the road, is a Vauxhall.
Look, and again, you look at the variety there, French, Japanese, and German at the back as well, with a Scirocco just
Old Nick Gwinnett there out in the front. He's a local boy, he's local to me.
Yeah, and he's out in front quite a lot in that series when you look back on the results. Yes. Phil Wright as well in that awesome-looking Honda Civic.
I mean, even an RS8, you don't see them on the racetrack every day, do you? It's just...
You don't. They're fababulous cars. And again, there, Nick Gwinnett as well pulled even more of a gap.
They're not fantastic cars, but they look good.
They look good. I mean,
I don't know. I think that one's a bit of an animal, but...
Yeah, that one's a bit of an animal. personally, I think the road car is quite good, so each to their own. But the two championships there that sort of, obviously the Nippon Challenge has been going for years. The Tricolor Trophy has come in sort of the past 5 years as well. That's quite good. You've got the likes of Tony Hunter, who joined us on the stand at Autosport with his immaculate white Clio, sponsored by Fusion Media.
You've got immaculate as the grass he looks after.
Yes, he looks after the golf course. I bet that's being used quite a lot this week.
I bet.
And the Peugeot 206 Cup, which, to be honest, lads, we fell in love with it, didn't we, on the Autosport stand?
I'm not going to lie. That is one series that I want to have a go at. I'm going to try and butter the guys up and see if I can get out in it, because, as we discussed, that's probably the cheapest series to join. If you want to look to join a series, I think that 206 GTI Championship is probably the starting block.
And again, we're
slipping that in, are you?
Huh?
Slipping that in, are you?
Yeah, just yes. Sponsored by 206 GTI. So yeah, guys, if you're listening, come and let me have a go, and we'll do some more of that promoting.
Yeah, by all means, if you are part of the Peugeot 206 Cup and you are sponsored by a body shop, definitely give Nick a call. He would be happy to try out your race car.
You're such a dick.
Wait.
Yeah, it's not before 9 o'clock yet, Nick.
Oh.
You love
me, you're goading me. You're bullying me.
I know. It's funny. But the Track Attack Race Club is always quite popular. I've never seen a grid of the Track Attack Race Club with low numbers. No, I just haven't.
Never.
There's always something going on in that grid as well.
I mean, the thing is, I think they run it on a similar ethos to what Paul does with his, you know, it's all about getting cars on the grid more than it is about lining pockets. Now, again, that's not, I don't mean that in a horrible way, you know. Business, you know, people have business plans. Motorsport's a business, so these smaller clubs that we are representing today maybe have less of an agenda, so that's why you get better grids or bigger grids. So yeah, that's why.
And there we go. So they joined us on the stand. Fabulous company, fantastic cars. Yeah. And again, you know, they were a couple of series that we sort of vouched at the start of the year they're one to look out for. The registration fee is £175 for the year. To me, not good, not bad. It's sort of in the middle there.
It's there, isn't it?
Yeah. Entry fees, £330 to £350. Again, depends on the circuit. Again, average. Not bad. I mean, I think, obviously, Paul, you said you can get them lower. Is this just a case of maybe the hosts sort of trying to pick up a bit of a tab as well?
No, not at all. No, we actually buy the track time, same as everybody else. So although, you know, like I say, although I get my track time from you know, our organising club, I pay the same as anybody else does. It's just, you know, and it starts off the same as they, you know, it starts off pretty much the same as they would start it off. But as I get into more numbers, you know, because, you know, because I haven't got to look after any other series, I'm just a standalone series, you know, I've taken it upon me to actually have breakpoints where we can actually reduce it. So if we get a full grid, it can be really cheap. You know, whereas other clubs, they may have five or six other championships, and I think they have to sort of mix up with all of them.
Yeah, so, I suppose you've got to get an average across the six.
You've got to try and break even across. Yeah. And they've probably got, you know, they've got different designs on how they want to run it. You know, there's only me, and I don't want anything from you. I do it because I just want to see all these awesome falls on a grid. And, you know, to be honest with you, I don't know the life expectancy of motorsport with climate change and you know, what's going on. You know, how long is it going to go? You know, if they're stopping production in fueled cars, you know, what's going to happen to our sector? Is it going to be frowned upon?
Problem is,
it become too expensive to run. I don't know, you know.
They'll either become very valuable or very useless overnight.
Well, the problem is, this is me being a parent and stuff. It's all about the generations coming up through it, isn't it? If, like, my kids are going to grow up with combustion engines and they're hopefully going to love combustion engines, but their kids will grow up with electric cars and less combustion engine. Eventually, they'll just get phased out. You know, we don't all use dial-up phones anymore or, you know, chalk on a chalkboard anymore because things have superseded it. So it will fizzle out once upon a time, hopefully way, way past the time we're on the planet. It will be long gone, but...
And my car's lasted 30 years. It's not going to last that much longer.
Do it while
you can do it, you know. Take the opportunity while you can.
I don't think it's going to fizzle out. I don't think it's going to fizzle out soon, but...
It is
going to fizzle out. Combustion motorsport, anyway, at least.
Yeah, they'll have to fit some speakers with the same soundtrack as Paul's got inside his Escort. That'll be a decent sound.
Nice.
Okay, guys. So that kind of sums up our show tonight. We've gone over some underdog clubs. Like I said at the beginning, I've deliberately left out the likes of DDMC up north because I want to cover them in another episode. They've got massive grids, Darlington and District Motor Club.
There's loads more out there, isn't there?
There is loads more out there. First of all, I just want to run past a competition that Club Racing UK are doing. It's for paying members. So if you've got a membership, which is £20 annually, or you pay £2 a month like I do, it's the same as a cup of coffee. So if you pop down the petrol station on your way to work every morning and get a Costa, it's exactly the same as that. For that price, these two enter you into competitions that they've done on their own back with help from the likes of HRX, Slip and Grip Automotive, all sponsors that are helping the club, help the club racer. This month's competition, we've got £100 worth of vouchers from HRX. Yes. How good is that?
That's it. That could be sold on any of their items on their websites and stuff. So,
yeah.
Fantastic. So all you need to do, chaps, is just get a membership, yep?
That's it. Yeah. You literally
purchase a membership, automatic entry.
Not only that, with our membership, it's not just about the competition. You also get access to all our discounts, which I think we're probably verging on over 30 companies now, Steph.
Yeah, it must be.
So various discounts. We should do, actually. So various different companies who support us will offer our members discounts, and we will also give you priority posting. So, yeah, become a member. You're getting the limelight a bit more with us.
Fantastic. Okay, chaps. And from my point of view, I kind of want to give everyone a taste of what's to come. The podcast is here to stay. I've been writing several scripts, and we're going to cover over the next few months the likes of Women in Club Racing. I've been speaking to a few contacts there. Time Attack as well. A few more contacts. We're going to do an episode on that. Next podcast, we're going to talk about how cost effective. I did write originally, how cheap can you get club racing? I don't think cheap is the right word, really. So I'm going to go with cost-effective. So the next episode of the Club Racing UK podcast, we will cover how cost-effective you can get to go club racing. We're going to include the top 10 in the country, worked out. Myself, Nick and Steph have got to do some maths. I know it's going to be difficult. I might need a calculator.
I'm done. That's me done.
We're going to look... We're going to look at the big clubs as well, the likes of Bark, BRSCC, 750 Motor Club, look at what they do, the series they have. So this podcast is here to say, on a personal note from me, thank you very much for listening. Anything more you guys would like to add before we go?
Yeah, you said about that's all right, Paul. Thanks for coming. All I want to say is hopefully with this podcast, we'll actually be able to report on some racing soon.
We can report on some track day footage soon.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Well, if you are listening, guys, what you can do, you can message us if you are out at all and you do go out on a track day, or you want us to talk about anything. If you want us to talk about any subject, get hold of myself, Nick Holmes, or Stefan Marsh.
That's it. If you want to be sat where Paul's sitting now and you want to big up your club, give us a shout. We'll fit you in an episode somewhere, definitely. And also, get involved with the comments. If you've got any questions you want to ask, we could always deviate off. Did we get any questions today, Rob? I haven't got my phone on me, so I can't.
No. I'll be honest, it's been rather quiet today. It's been rather quiet, but I'm sure we'll generate more discussion in the future.
Yes, definitely.
Right. So I've been Robert Lewis. He's been Nick Holmes. He's been Stefan Marsh. My thanks to Paul Neville for coming on, the coordinator for the Modified Ford Series. We will see you in 2 weeks for episode 4, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.